What's up, everyone? My name is Bas Naqvi, and we're back for a second episode of Daily Charged. This week, I'm with three other guests. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Anil. I'm a tech geek, comic book nerd, all sorts of... Yeah.
I'm Lisa, overall pop culture nerd, specifically comics and movies.
I'm Adil. I'm a financial consultant, and I'm very boring. Just listen to my voice.
All right, so this week we are going to talk about technology and some of the latest cell phones coming out and the Apple Watch, the new MacBook 12-inch Retina MacBook, I guess. It's not an Air. Chromebook, Pixel, and just anything tech-related that we want to talk about. So let's open it up to the brand new Apple Watch, because I think I just want to get this out of the way and talk to you all about it. So Apple released a second, I guess it was a second release, a second conference about the Apple Watch, because they did preview it.
A reaffirmation to
I think 6 months ago.
This is their first unveiling of the Apple Watch. This is the Apple Watch in its glorious debut. And the price points and all the beautiful glory. What did you guys think about this, Lisa?
Well, personally, I don't like the whole Apple Watch too much because, as you can see, I wear my watch like inside of my wrist. Mm-hmm. So anything tech-wise is just going to get scratched and destroyed. Okay. So this thing's probably like $20. Anything more than that for a watch is way too much.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of people think about their watches. But everyone is trying to go for watches being the next sort of like extension of your phone. That's the big claim.
The problem I have with that is how much of an extension do you really need when you have God knows how much on your iPhone itself? I mean, granted, I understand there are some acclimated features on a watch that would be better served. But what's the cost-benefit analysis on that? And as an average consumer, I see where they're going, where they're pricing this as a luxury item, and they're building a brand towards it, but what are we going to see as average consumers? That's the gamble.
Well, when I saw the conference, everyone had a different opinion on what they wanted out of the watch. Because everyone wants to see the technology progress. And the next generation of technology is outside of your pocket and actually on the human body. That's where all tech companies are going. So then they thought inevitably it would go on the wrist because they don't want it inside the body right now and we can't make it small enough. So we put it on our wrist. And the Apple Watch is just in the new foray into just on-body technology. And what I think Apple's trying to do is for the first time ever, they're playing catch-up because they're doing the same exact thing as all the other tech companies. They released a watch. It pretty much looks like all the other watches. Actually, I'd like to say some of the other watches look better. The Moto 360, I thought looked a lot better. Definitely not the Samsung. I thought that was bulky as crap. But it's got some sort of beauty to it. It does look pretty decent. And then how would you use it in your day-to-day lives? And I saw it, and I really got sold just because of the health. Because of the fact that they hired some of the world's best health advisors, people who are in the top of their industry, to come in and do research for it. When you buy a watch, a heart rate monitor, a watch, and you go to the gym and you work out, it's not always accurate because your body's moving. It doesn't always have contact with your chest or with your wrist, and it's not giving you accurate readings. They got some of the world's best health advisors, and they said the health tracking, the calorie burning, the heart rate monitoring is so accurate to a T that if you're using it specifically for health, it is the best tool. As far as everything else, I think it's playing a gimmicky role. I don't need Uber on my wrist. I don't need my my text messages on my wrist, and I don't need my photos on my wrist. That's all just a plus because it's generally an iPhone on my wrist.
I mean, we also have to clarify, though, when you said for the first time Apple's playing catch-up, I don't think they are just for the first time. I mean, we all know that Microsoft introduced the tablet. They're the ones that brought it out to market. Apple perfected the market.
We're going to go into this whole different tangent here, but you're right. They've always, like, they took a product and they commercialized it. They made it so that you can. They made it so that you want it.
It's, I mean, it's a linear one process approach that's simple. Yeah. It doesn't multifunction, but that's the that was the whole marketing aspect of it for the average consumer and what we could
see. Don't get me started on Apple
but
and
that,
marketing.
I see where they're going again with the watch for that though. You see a lot of the similar patterns of what they took from the tablet
but
and what they're bringing to the watch.
When it comes to the watch, I really think that, they're bringing their A game. They're trying to do as best of a chance, like, possibility-wise. They're taking all the great things about
the watch.
There it
is, right there. We're watching the live stream of it right now on our monitor. And I think it's beautiful.
It is.
I think they put them...
It is absolutely beautiful, but... Is it worth the cost?
That's the big question.
That is a huge,
because
hugest point right
here's
there.
Here's the price point. I don't know if everyone's aware, so let's break it down. Apple has three types of watches. They have the Apple Watch Sport.
Yeah.
Which is their
starting
baseline
point.
And that starts at $350 to $400.
Sure, right,
depending on the size of the screen. That's already whoa.
Yeah.
Then they have
Sport.
That's the name of the Sport is the
and then they have the Apple Watch Steel or no just what is it? It's just Steel?
You probably know more.
Okay, it's the Steel Apple Watch, and it starts at $500 or $550 to $1,000 because it's steel, not aluminium. and then there's the Apple Watch Gold Edition, which is absolutely ludicrous.
Okay,
let me just give you the price point.
What about the platform?
Starting, I think at $10,000 to $17,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was $17,000 plus.
Yeah,
$17,000 plus.
Just give me a Rolex set or something.
I don't know anyone who has 10 to 17 lying around.
Okay.
But they mostly own slaves.
That is the thing. Apple, at its base point, is trying to differentiate itself, becoming a company as like a computer tech company into a big...
fashion.
Yeah, fashion company. It's not uncommon to have Rolexes that roll into tens of thousands of dollars. That is what Apple is going for. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. They're taking the same exact like marketing. Like you have the entry point where you can get a $200 watch. Absolutely. It does the same thing, doesn't it? It tells you the time. But the absolute materials that it's made out of. You take a look at a Rolex. I mean, I'm not a rich-ass person. I don't know the difference between a 10,000. I don't know the difference between a 10,000 Rolex. And then a Rolex that costs $500.
It's the material, I guess. It's the gold. Because it is real
brand.
Gold.
It is.
And you know what? To all props to Apple for releasing something like this, just because they are going for a niche market. But apparently someone broke it down saying that the gold watch is actually a pretty good deal. If you actually melt that gold down into a brick, you're actually saving money. Not saving money, but the price point per gold... They're not making a huge profit off of that.
Okay, I don't know about that.
But even if they're not making a huge profit,
I mean,
it's valued.
It's valued for... The value for that gold watch is great for if you buy it. But who wants to buy it is the question.
Exactly.
No
right.
one.
Right.
Except for the filthy rich in China. The filthy rich
and
certain filthy rich people in the USA. But it's the value for what you get...
There's filthy rich in Africa.
We'll see. But
okay, here's the biggest thing. Are you willing to buy an Apple Watch? Are you?
So, okay,
are you?
Let's go down because I think everyone here is going to buy either in the Sport or the Steel edition.
Absolutely.
I honestly could not care if I have aluminum on my wrist or I have steel on my wrist, as Johnny Ive has said.
Yeah.
And I will probably get the Apple Watch Sports edition. But I don't know if I'm going to get this first release because I haven't tried it. I haven't tested it. Apparently, Apple's going to be releasing, I think, starting next week, where you can go into the Apple Watch store, you could pick it out, and the guy will sit next to you, and he'll put it on your wrist, and you can feel it, you can try it out. And I want to test it out, but right now, I'm not sold.
What will you accomplish with this Apple Watch?
I want it for health, only for health.
Only for health, but don't you have a jawbone?
I do, and that's the number one thing. I have a jawbone.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two others. Okay. Two broke on me. This is the third one, and it's not accurate at all.
Okay.
On calorie tracking?
Yeah, but like heartbeat-wise.
Oh, it doesn't track heartbeat.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Right.
No.
Other than that, it tracks your motion.
Yeah, but there's a lot of false positives. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm just waving my hand. It's counting calories.
True.
It doesn't count steps. The thing with the heart rate is, as the most accurate way to count calorie counts, right, is through your heart rate.
Absolutely.
So if your heart rate's faster, it means that you're burning more. There's an algorithm for it. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't do it. This just has one thing inside of it. It's a gyroscope. So it just measures up and down. Right now, I just walked 3 steps. It's not accurate.
Biggest question is, are you willing to put forward that $350?
That's the thing. If it was $200, I would have done it. Because the Moto 360 is $200 and $250.
I think it's $200 because that's only like holiday season.
I guess so. But we all know Apple, and they price everything as a premium.
Absolutely. You're absolutely
right. Always pay more, but you end up with the product of most people, I guess, who end up, because I know there's differentiations. Like when you get an Apple laptop, most people are very happy with it. An iPad,
absolutely,
people are ecstatic. iPhone, that's when people have, because that's a lot more personal. That stays on you 24/7. That's a very different case because I know a lot of people who are Apple fanboys who will not have Apple phones.
There are.
And but when people buy MacBooks and iPads, they're fans for life usually.
They are.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into this whole spiel, but you can't just blindly follow a company. There's a lot of things going on, you know? Like, there's pros and benefits to it.
But here's the thing, though.
Apple is a new person in the smartwatch company.
And I think they're not going to do as well as... Or I could be biting... I could be
Take a look at the Moto 360. Look at the build quality.
No, I completely agree. The only thing stopping me from getting a Moto 360 is it doesn't sync with my phone.
I know.
And it doesn't sync with my tablet.
I absolutely agree with you.
Guess what?
I'm actually not
worried. You know why? Because Google just announced that they're going to release an app that lets you sync all Google. I don't know if it's just going to be Google Watches or just Android, period. Any Android watch. But you can pair your Android watch to your phone.
I gotta look into that as well. But
they haven't said anything else. They said, wait for future announcements. I think Google's gonna do a new conference.
I saw something on 9to5 Mac where someone was taking phone calls with their Moto 360.
But that's the thing. I don't wanna be. You know why? I don't wanna be talking into. Because I have Siri. Sometimes I'm in public and I don't be like, Siri, tell my wife I wanna do this.
Tell my wife I love her.
It's like everyone's looking at you and you don't wanna be saying stuff.
Future, man.
Yeah.
This is the future.
You don't want to be Inspector Gadget?
Because
we are Inspector
I feel like,
because
I saw the Apple's conference, right? And all I noticed was they were just throwing stuff on top of stuff. And it's just, I didn't care about it. I didn't care about this. I didn't care about the GPS. I didn't care about Uber.
Absolutely
I didn't care.
Agree with
all
you,
I cared about, because my it's a watch and it's for health. And that was my main prerogative. Some people will want one just because they want to be able to read messages.
It's what appeals to you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. Because when it comes to tech, you're looking at it from, you want it as a health benefit.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true, because heart rate monitor, how can you beat that? You can actually calculate how many calories you burn using your heart rate.
I don't know if any of you saw the CBS News. Mm-hmm. CBS released an exclusive insight where they went into Apple's lab. And they showed how they were testing the heart rate monitor or the health tracking. Yeah. They were putting people in oxygen with oxygen masks on in extreme situations. They were putting them in desert conditions and tracking how much they were burning. Mm-hmm. They were putting them in Arctic conditions, in ice cold climate controlled rooms, and testing how their heart calories were being burned. Like, so that's to a T. And as much as a lot of people love to hate Apple, and people look to them to see what they're going to do, and then the trends change.
Granted, Apple is really... They're forward-stepping, but there's always a case. Remember when the iPhone 4 came out? It was like, this is the revolutionary phone.
Unapologetically plastic. What about that?
Unapologetically plastic. But they were like, look, our phone is the best phone. I'm talking no drop calls whatsoever. It's absolutely amazing. Mm. But when people got their hands on it, actually, like, took it and had real-world tests to it, it ended up being shit. Because, like, when you hug your phone...
Wasn't it the antenna gate?
Because what? They tested the design spec it. They tested it in a closed environment.
See, no
they
company is excused from criticism because they all have problems. Remember Apple when they released Apple Maps?
Oh my god.
People were driving into ditches and getting lost.
I don't think they purposely like, yeah. There's the ditch.
No, no, no. No. These guys aren't God.
No, no.
But
exactly.
The thing is, mm-hmm. they do release products that are very consumer friendly.
I think we can all agree that Apple tries to innovate.
Yeah.
They try to innovate as much as anyone possible, and it almost feels like, I'm not saying it is, but almost feels like everyone's trying to play catch up.
No. Granted, it seems you know? Kind of strange though, because where Apple is going, I know they're again, a boss brought up a great point that Apple always wants to be seen as the innovative company or the ones that want to cement a legacy in the new approaches or new innovations, but you also have to kind of look at the market share and the demographics. Who's going to buy the Apple Watch? Mm-hmm. When you start looking at the analytics and trends behind it, look at the percentage of the populations that have bought the Apple iPhone. Mm-hmm. Those are your baseline demographics for buying the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see a person with an Android phone obviously buy an Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's tough to turn them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're going to see...
Very tough.
We're going to see the high-end user class of the Apple phone switch over and have the Apple Watch as part of the augmentation towards new tech. Yeah. And Apple's hoping that this luxury... This is why I also believe they priced it so high, is because they understand the average consumer might not be able to afford it, but if they can set that trend yield for the higher demographics and higher incomes, mm-hmm. they can then bring it down, scale it down, and make
yeah.
it a downstream mm-hmm. effect.
Lisa, what do you have to say?
Well, my question is it actually going to replace the phone? Are people going to buy the watch
no,
and still carry their phone around?
Absolutely not.
I think
it is always going to be an extension of the phone, because the watch cannot function without the phone.
I thought it had its own processor.
No, it does. But the watch has no cell...
Cellular data?
No cellular data.
That's fine.
So it needs to tether to your phone.
Okay.
Once you buy an Apple Watch, I just upgraded my phone,
sure.
and so an Apple Watch icon appeared. You have to open up that app icon on your phone for it to work.
Wow.
So you need an iPhone to work with an
iWatch.
That
doesn't seem as
yeah.
innovative as you would think, because
mm-hmm.
if they want to replace the phone with the watch, if you still need the phone, what's the point?
Absolutely.
The technology is not there to replace it. You know why? The battery life.
No, it's not the battery life. They want to have this SIM technology. They
want
to be able to grab.
No, they want
everything.
To, but you can't. They can't fit it in there. And as well,
a lot of things can be transmitted through Bluetooth. It's absolutely true. There's marketing. You know, there's a reason why the iPhone has not overtaken the iPad at a certain.
No,
point.
But the iPhone, now that they released the larger screens, they're cannibalizing
it's
the iPad.
Cannibalizing.
Because
absolutely.
Apple
yeah.
knew it. It's eating
okay.
it, because a lot of people are stop buying iPads
yeah.
because the bigger screens.
Yeah.
We're just good enough.
All right. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting a little sidetracked here. What do you guys think about the new MacBook?
Okay. I know
guys,
we
Anil
and I had a long discussion
Go
about
for
this.
It.
So, Lisa, have you do you know anything about the new MacBook Apple
Not
released?
Not particularly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull it up for you or
yeah.
So
I mean, I do have
I guess,
a MacBook,
Anil, you
but
can pull
it's a year
up.
Old
yeah.
at this point.
So, Apple just announced the new MacBook, and I think it's a brand new concept that a lot of people haven't thought of. I guess the number one selling point of this Mac would be, I guess we're looking at design.
Well,
yeah,
look
at design.
Look at design.
Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Pretty much, it's the same thing as my laptop. But much
Which
smaller.
Is MacBook Air.
MacBook Air. Much, not much smaller. About, like, I think half the size of it.
Yeah. Well, I
half the size.
It's 2.9.
And it's only 2 pounds. It's the weight of this.
2 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 pounds.
Doesn't seem like a laptop to me.
No.
Yeah.
But that's not the thing. Because people always want something portable and light.
Yeah.
The biggest revolutionary thing is it has only one port. One port, a USB-C port, just to charge, and everything is done
is
through this
really
one port.
Revolutionary?
Okay, no. We're getting the whole thing. All right, we'll get
so
to
that's,
it.
That's
we'll
the only
it.
Port.
Boss
okay.
will elaborate. All right. Please, let him finish. All right.
So here's my concept.
Okay, let him finish. Please.
I had a long discussion with Anil about this, and he had his opinion where you cannot function without ports. You need them. You need multiple ports to connect your video and display. I see this as Apple's vision for the future, because right now we need USB ports, but that's what people said about DVD players or CD drives. Apple put in CD and DVD drives into their MacBook Airs, and then eventually they took them out. And people were screaming and hollering, saying, we need the DVD drives, but they killed it off because we didn't need it. Now they're releasing one port.
That's one port.
What are you guys looking at?
So looking at the specs.
Is there no DVD drive on this thing?
No, there's no DVD drives in any Mac.
When was the last time?
When did they take out the cassette tapes?
I bought a Mac a year ago. It still has a drive. And partially because I'm still a college student, I watch DVDs on it. I do put CDs or songs from it. To me, still having that feature is very nice.
Yeah, well...
You're old!
I know!
I think 90%, I am pretty sure they're killing that off too.
They are.
But 99% of all Mac products have no drives whatsoever now.
Yeah.
And so, the whole point of this laptop is one port. Just the one port will charge it. You can do video output. You can plug in the USB. You can plug in anything. But it's with adapters. But that's not what Apple wants. They want everything in the future to be wireless. So, let's say you have photos that you want to send from your phone. You don't need to tether it anymore. All you do is just airdrop it or use Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. And for charging, it's only used for charging. I don't see it as a product of this generation. I see a product of the next generation. It is their concept, their idea of what the future of laptops will be. And I'm pretty sure, my opinion is that this is where everyone in the industry wants to go, because Apple worked with multiple companies to make this USB-C mm-hmm. port. Mm-hmm. So they were leading it. And I know Google's on board because Google announced the new Chromebook Pixel, which is also just like the MacBook Air type of device, very thin, but it has two USB-C, and that's it.
Big question is, would you buy it? Right now, if you had the money, would you buy it?
I would replace my personal laptop because... Mm-hmm. I'm very different. I have a huge desktop rig with a lot of ports. Okay. I have an iPad. I have a few other things, mm-hmm. but I would replace my laptop currently because I only use it to surf the web mm-hmm. and to be doing either like this podcast. I have one thing plugged into it. That's it.
Okay. All right.
So I see it as a futuristic device. Certain people, it's only for certain people, but. That'll be the future when people need less cables. Because right now, if you look at my desktop rig, I got multiple cables.
All right. You know, this is me. I gave a lot of thought into this because I really felt like what Apple is charging for their product is just kind of criminal, honestly, to tell you the truth. They're charging $1,300 for a product that you can't even plug a USB port into. They're trying to market this to, what is your demographic here?
The next generation,
right. You want to give this to college students, don't you?
No, this is not aiming towards...
Okay, not even that.
This is aiming for a niche group. The reason why I don't blame Apple for this is because they're not replacing anything. They're still selling the MacBook Airs, and they're still selling the Pros.
This goes back
to your same argument before about the cannibalization of own products.
But they want to see what will cannibalize the other one. So if one is doing better, they're going to
You're selling an overpriced iPad.
I don't think so. I don't. You know why? Because Google released the Chromebook Pixel. It's the same thing. It's literally a laptop. That's like the MacBook Air, mm-hmm. and all it does is have a browser. The Pixel is sold for $1,500, I think.
No, sir.
Yeah, it is. It's in the 1,000.
There's the Samsung model, and there's also the Surface. Have you ever taken a look at the Surface?
But the Surface is...
The Surface is actually the same price as the MacBook, which is $1,300. It's 12-inch screen. It's got one USB port, one USB 3.0 port, and a mini display out.
Okay, it's $1,000 for a Chromebook Pixel. It's genuinely a browser. It's a browser. You can't do anything, and it has two Chrome. It's only a $300 price difference.
$300.
But then you're looking at. But then you're paying the Apple pay the price you're always paying.
Great.
No, you always pay more for an Apple laptop.
That's true.
You always do.
But what they're doing and what they're giving. It really is a ripoff.
I don't think so. I really don't.
What will you use the MacBook, the new MacBook for? To tell you the truth that you can't do on your Mac?
No, there's nothing. But if someone said, hey, do you want to replace this with that?
With your iPad?
No, with my MacBook Air.
What would you do with your iPad that you can't do with your new MacBook?
Do recording.
You could record on that.
No, but not to the degree of customization to do audio output, to do feed through.
And how much do you think there'd be throttle neck? That is a 1.1 gigahertz processor.
Yeah, and that's the one thing.
Test,
we're talking. There's the laptop right now.
It is.
We're looking at the screen.
We're looking at it.
1.1, and right now it's
turbo
not.
Boost, but I'm telling you, you put it through his test. It's absolutely, dude. If you take any laptop, if you take anything and you turbo boost it, there's always a certain amount where you're gonna have faults. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna. Well, it's gonna be. It is a shit processor.
It is slightly underpowered. I agree.
It is a shit processor
because of the fact that Intel works on. I don't know if you guys are aware on a TikTok basis.
Yeah.
Every year they release a processor of a new nano chip, something smaller. Right now, I think this is a 14 nanometers.
Yeah, actually, I think this is 14.
So this is their tick. And what they call the next year, they release a TOC, which is the same chip size, 14 nanometer, but they increase the speed. So then the next year, so 3 years after the original, they release a TIC, which is even smaller, let's say a 7 nanometer, and then they increase it the next year. So this is their tick. We wait for the next one where they increase the CPU speed, so it is more powerful. Is it a little bit higher priced than most? It's on par with the Chromebook Pixel and with a Samsung. Not a Samsung. What's that? The Microsoft.
There is actually a Samsung model.
Surface.
No. The Samsung model is actually the. Hold on, I gotta pull it up. But
you're always paying premium for an Apple product. You always pay more. It's just how it is, and people will either decide to go with a Microsoft device, an Android device, or whatever. But that is their choice. And some people will pay it, some people won't.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what is the difference between you buying this versus buying an iPad with 64 gigabytes?
Well, the only thing is, it's the OS. You want an OS. Mm-hmm. The sale of, or how would you sell it to people with laptops already? The only thing that's better on it is that it's lighter and it has a Retina display. My MacBook Air is not a Retina display, so it's only it's under 1080.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's your
768 1024 by 768.
You have an 11 inch. That's why.
Yeah, I have an 11 inch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 13 is also 768.
No, it's 1440.
Okay, all right. So I guess the whole thing is it's not Retina. And Retina does kill a lot of battery. You put more battery in. So that's why the Chromebook Pixel costs so much, too. It's because it costs more to power that screen with battery. And you got battery costs money right now. So we'll wait till... I'm waiting for a breakthrough in lithium ion.
We'll wait for it.
So that's a whole other thing.
But...
what are we looking at here? The Samsung Ative?
Mm-hmm. It weighs less.
Yeah, is this comparing to the new MacBook?
Is this
the Air or is it just the MacBook?
No, the new one.
No, that's the MacBook Air.
Oh, hold on. I just pulled it up.
So, okay, I think we talked enough about the MacBook.
No. Okay.
12-inch. I mean, any last things that we want to bring up? Because you did bring up valid arguments. You really did bring up valid arguments that... yeah, it is underpowered. I agree. Yeah. Do I want to upgrade right now? No. But
no.
If someone gave it to me, said,
no.
"Do you want? I'll take this laptop and I'll give you this one."
Yeah.
I'll take it. You know why? Because I have another device that will do it for me.
All right, I want to get into this. Actually, this is a really big topic that I've been meaning to ask, and I want to ask anyone on the forums to kind of just chime in.
It's about gay marriage, right?
No, not entirely, but close. So, if you buy that new MacBook,
yeah.
If you buy a laptop that you want to use for school. Let's say you're a new college kid.
Yeah.
You want to go to school. You buy the 1300 MacBook, and you're like, this is going to be great. This is going to settle me for the next 4 years. When you go to class, when you use it, you're typing up your essay. What kind of problems are you going to run into? I mean, one of the big problems is, what if I want to just take this paper, if I want to like have one of my friends revise it, maybe not even that, but like just like being able to like pop in videos or copy music for my friends, I absolutely have to carry on with me a USB-C hub.
Because the future of all devices, even now, I don't even think it's the future. I think it's the current.
Mm-hmm.
I never share devices. I always do it via Bluetooth.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But if you're an Apple person, if you're in the ecosystem,
But Google Drive. You just drag it into Dropbox, Google Drive, right-click, share,
and you share
something.
If I have stuff on my phone, and I want to share it with my friend, and
you can
share
it. You can message it. You can email it to him. You want to send some photos, you can email it, or you can Bluetooth it over. You can Bluetooth without just air.
Video files. Like, there's files that are too hard to...
There's ways.
There's a ton of ways. Don't get me wrong. But, like, having a 2 gigabyte file that you want to send over to your friend, and you have to carry on with...
On your phone, but... Anyone else? Let's say you want to do it right now. You want to send me a 2 gigabyte file. You would have to connect that phone to a computer.
I'll take a
copy
right here. I have a 2011 MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
I have a USB mouse.
Yeah.
How the fuck am I going to connect that to my MacBook?
That's the thing.
Mouse.
Don't have a mouse or use a Bluetooth. Yeah.
How the hell am I going to do that? Huh?
Use a Bluetooth
mouse. I have a 2 terabyte hard drive. How am I going to connect that to it?
You're right. You're right. But that's the thing. How do you want it done? Ecosystems.
The one thing.
Ecosystems.
Like,
because
yeah.
A lot of these hard drives, people don't need it. The reason they're selling the MacBook is to people who don't need external hard drives to back it up. They can.
It's a 256 gigabyte hard drive. Granted, that's good enough for everything that you need. But
usually it's for local storage. You can bring that one adapter. You can buy a hard drive, USB-C hard drive. You just plug it right in and copy stuff. You can. So,
another big thing is, I'm sorry to
the
just
dongles?
Go back. I'm sorry to go back, but this just kind of irks me, man. Like, I don't know why people are paying that much of a premium for something that is so underpowered. You're paying for a 1.1 gigahertz.
You're paying for the brand.
Computer.
You're paying for the brand.
No,
exactly.
You're not paying for the brand because you can absolutely go ahead and buy a 11 inch MacBook, which can absolutely outclass that.
But
anymore.
I think it has a Retina display. I think what Abbas and Lisa have brought out is a really great point is the fact that with the two products, you have one that serves a more professional or, ideally ones that need USB connection or, understand the aspects and specs and can see the price points right now. Whereas if the new products are there for the next generation, it's to augment and format behavior and how you're going to use your computer.
I'm
well.
Sorry. I'm sorry. At this point, Apple is falling behind because you say next generation. You say forward thinking in business. Like, where is Microsoft in this? Microsoft has... put in the Pro that not only is a touchscreen interface, it's a 12-inch display and has a full operating system, full Windows OS operating system.
I know some people who have the Pro and they don't like the usability of it.
Yeah, okay. So this is a perfect example. I listen in a lot of interviews of these tech blogs, bloggers, who are at Mobile World Conference and South by Southwest. And it was a really great banter back and forth. And the guy was like, "Hey, you're using your MacBook, right?" He's like, "Yeah." So I thought you love the Microsoft Surface. So what's going on? Why aren't you using it? He's like, "Because it's not great working condition. I don't want something that'll risk flipping on me while I'm typing really fast at conferences. I don't want something. It's great, but it's not as convenient for people as they sell it." Because the flip-out keyboard is
not
as sturdy.
Because it's not
and
as sturdy.
A
right,
lot
right,
of tech.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is, Microsoft had their conference, right? They were talking about all the latest products, the new VR gear, all that stuff. And then you look in the background, the sea. It's a sea of Apple laptops. It's a black room with a sea of Apple laptops.
You got to realize that there's a certain point where people change things. Like, granted, like there's a sea of Apple laptops now, but things will change.
No, I totally understand. But then when it'll happen, it'll happen. And I guess my final thing about this topic, about the laptop and the MacBook 12 inches, Apple hasn't killed any of the other ones off. No. So I don't think anyone should be getting too angry about it.
No,
but they shouldn't be getting
angry.
Too angry.
My final thoughts is don't fucking buy it. It's a fucking ripoff. Don't do it.
They're giving people options. So if you need USBs, they're not killing the Retina Pro off, and they're not killing the Air off. If you want it, try it out, test it out.
Mm-hmm.
They will add more over the years.
It will
be better. The battery life will get
don't
better.
Get me wrong.
And sharing online, people will find ways. People were ridiculously angry when they got rid of the DVD player. Mm-hmm. But then no one even second guesses the DVD player. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Well, now you have digital copies of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no one even considers it anymore.
No.
So, my opinion, and I know it's contrary to some, right now I need USBs for 90% of the stuff I need. I do. No, I'm solely for it.
Yeah.
If I didn't have my home desktop that I built and I'm working with that's powerful, I would need USB. I would not buy the 12-inch. But just because I have a computer that has one, I would buy it. Mm-hmm. I would buy it right now just because I don't need it on my portable device. This MacBook Air stays everywhere. But nonetheless, people choose what they want to, and people will decide. If no one buys it, Apple will kill it off. Look at the iPhone, the C, the plastic.
Right.
No one bought it, then no one even talks about it. Apple doesn't even talk about it. Yeah. So we will let the consumers decide. Or Apple will let the consumers
decide.
You're because it's
right.
The trends.
You're absolutely right. My final thoughts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My final thoughts is, look, if you're a student going into college and you want a new laptop, granted you have a choice between buying something that's $1,000...
No, I would say never. I would tell every college student right now with you, buy the $899 11-inch MacBook Air. It's cheap. It's a great price. And you could even get it with the $100 or $50 discount.
Yes,
that's what I'm telling you.
Student discount. Because you need it for school because you need to transfer files from your friends. You know, you just need to transfer files easily.
Nope, there's no fighting here.
No, I'm not.
Apple, if you want to fund us, because we're like pretty much selling you a MacBook Air to all these college students. So if you want to send us one,
fuck your new MacBook.
No, I'm just okay. So I think that's enough. We got to move away from this. We got to pass the laptop. We're done. So that was that. Right. Let's talk about. Let's move on to Android because there's a big thing about Android. What kind of phone does everyone have right now?
I have an iPhone.
Actually. I have an iPhone 6.
iPhone 6.
And Adil has a brick.
Yes.
He has a brick phone. Okay, he's the last person. You know what?
He's like a phone that
we need. We need a demographic here. Yes. We don't need anyone.
The old Nokia phone in which I can just hurl at people trying to mug me.
Okay.
Exactly. It's like, here, try to take my wallet after I hand you my phone, and it's just like run away when they're struggling. Yeah. All
right. So within the past 2 weeks, a lot of exciting news. Samsung announced two new phones. Everyone was expecting this. They released a Samsung S6 and the S6 Edge. They are their latest flagship phones. Samsung killed off the previous Alpha, I guess. I don't know if they killed it off or they're just putting it on the sideline, but the Samsung S6 is their flagship. And what the S6 Edge is, it's a curved glass where I don't know where my phone's up there, but it goes past the side of it.
Yeah.
So when you put your phone upside down, there's a thin layer of, I guess, the side layer.
It lights up
glass
on the side.
It lights up.
The sidebars.
One of the benefits of it is if someone's calling you, you can color code it. Meaning, like, if
red.
You're calling me, I can label you as red. If Lisa's calling me, I can label it as blue, so I will see that.
They gotta remember the colors.
Yes, that's very true. The thing about Samsung is a lot of the stuff is gimmicky. Sometimes it catches on, and other companies, you know.
So we don't have a review unit, and I'm totally gonna call out Samsung and HTC right now. Send us a review unit, and I'm contacting them. But I've watched a lot of coverage from MKBHD, from The Verge, from CNET, and a few others, and they've said this is a great, great, solid phone. The Edge is actually not worth it. They said it's slightly underpowered specs. Than
really?
Compared to the, they said
the
specs.
The Edge?
Yeah, the Edge. It is slightly different specs. And it's just not necessary to have that Edge because it's too gimmicky right now. Maybe if they went full wraparound.
You know what? They're putting it on their note. And it seemed like a pretty popular thing. I can see them utilizing a bit.
I feel like for cost
versus value,
it hasn't,
I can see
them utilizing been, it.
It
hasn't been used properly.
Yeah.
It can.
It
Someone
can.
Needs to
Absolutely.
Write the right code for it. But right now, it's not a seller to me and a lot of reviewers online. I wish I could play with it. But if you want the best non-Apple phone, I would say get the Samsung S6.
Yeah. I haven't seen it myself, but I was very impressed. I mean, I feel like Apple, Samsung is the number one competitor to
Apple.
Apple.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is with their phone, especially the 6, because apparently, like, a lot of complaint was with the 5 and the 5S was it was cheap. It felt cheap in your hand. It was just like the materials were plastic and just,
yeah, no,
it was gimmicky.
I was the number one thing. Yeah. Neil and I had a conversation 2 years ago, even last year. And he was like, hey, boss, I want to switch to a Samsung. And he's like, what do you think about it?
Android is really, really great for what they do.
I didn't even like Android OS because it was too confusing. But then now that Android has released Lollipop, the new OS, beautiful. It looks visually beautiful. The only thing with Android and Android phones and Apple's iPhone is that that one deciding factor that's making people buy the phone is the camera. The OS, okay, iOS is amazing, smooth, streamlined. It is great for what people need, for certain people.
Yeah.
And then Android, incredibly beautiful now because of Lollipop. It's smooth because if you have a great phone like Flagship.
Fantastic operating
system. But the thing is, there is not one single, and this is a really, I've seen so many visual tests, Android phones that can compete with the Apple's camera. They're so close.
Well,
I want to merge in.
There's certain aspects because, like, if you take again with the camera, you could go with a really high megapixel count.
It's never about megapixel. You know, I did photography for a while.
Right now,
I have a Canon DSLR.
It depends on what you're going for. Like, if you want to have a really, really clear, like high clarity when you have high megapixels, you're going to go with the higher one.
It's not even that.
Light aperture?
Okay,
all right. Sure, you're going to go with something different.
I want to go over to the HTC M9 and then come back to the Samsung because this is going to totally come in full circle.
Sure.
HTC also announced, right around the same time, their
M9. There's something else they're underappreciated.
Okay, their flagship phone. HTC's phone, nothing has changed. It is pretty much the same exact phone as the M8. It is the same size, slightly slimmer. The same beautiful screen. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the M8 last year's phone. And then they released the M9. The big change they made was they took their really shitty-ass camera on the back, which was 4 megapixel, and they called it Pixel Focus, and they moved it to the front, and then they put a 20 megapixel, big number, 20 megapixel camera on the back.
Yeah.
Every review has come out and said that 20 megapixel camera is utter bullshit. It is crap. The photos? I've seen photo reviews and you can show it to anyone. There's no argument. It is a horrible camera, 20 megapixel.
So,
HTC just cannot make a camera phone. I would buy the HTC right now if it had Apple's camera in it. That's it.
You mean Sony's camera.
Sony. No, no, no. But
yeah,
yes,
they
no,
make
no.
The lens.
Sony sells
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
But the thing is, it's the software behind it also. Because Apple does have the proprietary software where they take about 3 or 4 photos at once, and then they merge and pick the best one.
No,
and they have all the color gamuts.
And now you can do the burst photos.
Exactly. So there is no difference. I'm ready to move on to Android, but cameras. So now we get to the best Android camera, which I think is the Samsung S6. I saw the photo comparisons. To be honest, you're almost nitpicking when you see like pixel clarity, but there's something about the Apple that I kept picking up. It's the color saturation. It's just a lot more, I think it looks more beautiful. It's just not there yet. Samsung is even higher. It's 16 megapixel.
Yeah, it's higher.
Funny
it's
thing is,
higher.
Apple's at 8.
It's
never about megapixels. Apple's at 8, and they're out competing with cameras. They're not out competing in specs with anyone. They have 1 gig still in the iPhone.
Yeah.
Everything is much smaller. Their battery is smaller.
They utilize more of the architecture.
They know how to code. They know how to streamline their OS. With Android, you release one OS. It's kind of like Windows for hundreds of different devices,
exactly.
And you got to make sure it tweaks.
Yeah.
I want Samsung to fix the small little thing. It could be a software update.
Yeah.
Fix that little camera issue, and I might be ready to be sold.
That's the thing about Apple. I mean, I would never, like, I think we had a discussion about years ago when we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know what? This Samsung has a 4 gigahertz processor or
yeah,
whatnot.
It's
it doesn't matter.
You know what? No.
At this point, it does not fucking matter.
All the Samsung phones are all the flagships, I think, are 3 gigs of RAM, and they're quad core running at 2.5 gigahertz.
But if you push the Safari button or your Internet Explorer button at the same time, it will load up, load videos at the same time, take pictures at the same time. So it's not about launching a program. It's not about that, because both of them are really, really they're snapped to it. Like at this point, I don't even feel like you should. I have an iPad Air, and I don't feel like upgrading to the iPad Air 2 feel like there's any.
No, benefit. There's no spec updates. It's just a Touch ID. Exactly. I didn't update because I don't need Touch ID.
Because there is a bump up in processing. But at this point, it's not worth it. Maybe it's the next one.
Well,
really. Is it?
What do people use the iPad for? To browse the web to read books.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it. The iPad is a very different subject, and let's not get off topic.
Yeah, let's not get off topic. Sorry.
We're gonna totally get off topic. Yes, but back to it. I think HTC released a great phone, shitty camera. I don't think anyone should buy it. That is my honest review. I haven't held the phone, but I'm still saying if you don't take any photos or you don't want to record anything, then get the HTC. It's a great phone. It is by far the best. If it wasn't,
I gotta say, I was a little skeptical. Like, I took pictures with my phone. I have an iPhone. I've been an iPhone person for years, and I've always taken my pictures with my phone. And I've noticed there was a big difference with the new iPhone.
Yeah,
I've taken pictures from different places, and I've taken pictures with different angles, and I really felt like the clarity, the color palette. It was pretty phenomenal. Like, it was like I've never had a DSLR, but I feel like that would be a DSLR.
I mean, I'm openly honest about it, that I've been an Apple fanboy for a while, and I had Apple's iPhone 3, 3GS, the 4S, 5S, and the 6. But I've also, along the way, I have a Canon DSLR 70, and I was going through all my old photos, and I was looking at my 3 photos, my 3GS photos, then my 4 photos or 4S photos, and then I could see the progression. And at this point, they're beautiful, and I know a lot of editorial companies are changing. They're getting rid of DSLRs. My Canon DSLR is sitting on the table right now. Everyone can see it. I don't even use it anymore. You know why? Because my iPhone does. Yeah. Just as good of a job, and it's convenient. The New York Times, I think I read an article. The New York Times got rid of all their DSLRs and gave everyone an iPhone. I don't know if this is true, but this is what I read, that they gave all their editors an iPhone and said, we're going to just use iPhone photos because they're 8 megapixel, they're beautiful camera. It is the best camera.
I think if Apple really, I really want a higher megapixel just because I feel like if you get up to 12, then you have 4K pictures.
No. I'm almost 4K sure resolution. Of it.
The aperture, the lens, that is the biggest thing. And I mean, I never had another phone, but the picture quality is
well. The rumor mill is people have seen patents open up the next phone, the next camera.
Sony on this?
No. But Sony, it's Sony's patent, and
they're making a lot of money off of it.
The next one is 13 megapixel. The next one is 13 megapixel. Good. I'm almost sure of it. You know what?
I think it should absolutely
either 13 or 16. But if Apple just keeps the same software, even tweaks it, and makes it better, there's still going to be raining chance for camera. Samsung just need to work on their camera. But the phone is solid. If you're an Android person, go for the S6. Why not? Because I don't see a big flaw in it. Other than that, you know. Okay, guys. I think we're done with. I think we're done with this topic. But I want to talk to you about something really exciting, something big that's happened this week at South by Southwest. It's been everywhere, and it's virtual reality.
Oh.
Virtual reality, everyone. All
right. Do tell.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this.
Okay. Things have been changing, the entire atmosphere of what we perceive as gaming, as movies, a lot of the industry is saying is going to change. HTC released their, I forget what is it, Vive? It's V-I-V-E.
Okay.
And,
they're partnering with Valve.
And it's VR. I think you put your phone, it's kind of like the Samsung. You put your phone on these VR glasses and you put them on your head. And you get to see in a virtual reality. Facebook bought
Oculus, right?
Yeah, exactly. By Oculus, yeah, yep. And they just announced that they're going to do a big thing where they're going into VR with a lot of the social media stuff. And
they
what is
it?
It
yep.
Microsoft announced, what is it?
They have a hologram sort of project.
But that's all virtual reality. Yeah. That's augmented, but it's still virtual reality. Sony announced their, I forget the name of it. What's that called?
Sony is clearly marketed towards gaming.
Gaming.
Yeah.
And Facebook is going for social interaction.
Yep.
Even Microsoft is going for social interaction. They want you, want it on your head in your home. So in your home, you could be playing around with things, and it's just lighting up. I have not seen it, but what do you guys think about virtual reality? Have you heard anything about it?
Not particularly. I remember recently Community did an episode on it, and they kind of did the parallels of getting lost in these virtual worlds. But I'm kind of, as you know, I'm kind of old school, and I prefer kind of sticking away from that. I'm going to sit on the couch, give me a controller, there's a TV over there. Just go.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some great utilizations with Oculus, especially with singular experiences with these horror movie like type of atmospheres and then the roller coasters.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious as to see where they're going to go with the social interaction for it, how they're going to augment that, especially with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching a video right now on the iPad, and I'm showing her the Microsoft HoloLens. And this guy's just walking around his house, and he doesn't even need a TV. All he needs to do is pinch the zoom, and the movie you're watching can be anywhere. It could be 100 inches, 500 inches, he could be doing full 3D modeling and rendering and flipping around. It could be right in front of you. You could be looking at it.
I really do believe that that's the actual... that's what every single... Like you said PlayStation was going for gaming. You said all these other companies were going for something else. This is their end product. They want to have you fully...
They have the digital eyeball where they just like take your eyes out from a surgery and you just put
it in. They want to have you fully immersed.
This is Minecraft. He's playing Minecraft in his own living room.
I mean, that looks cool. Parts look interesting, but at the same time, you need to walk around your house with this headset on the whole time. What if you wear glasses? It's distracting.
Yeah.
Or you need any sort of correct
lens. Only that, but you're absolutely right, because it's kind of disorienting when you're walking around and it's just like, you know what, this is not... So I mean, maybe if you're pulling up something, like, have you ever seen Minority Report, where the person is trying to manipulate an object in 3D? All the stuff that they're showing is in a 2D plane, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
If you're able to manipulate different objects,
I think the next step, let's talk about one thing at a time. Valve's new game. I forget his name.
Wow.
I totally I blanked out. Whatever. That guy from Valve, he said that they just figured out, they cracked the code into not making people nauseous, not making people disoriented. That's the word. There were high claims to it, and they're saying no, it's not true. And then a lot of people tested it out. They said he's right. You can't get sick with this because they figured out that the feedback. They found some way. Excuse me. Through software to make it that it won't make you motion sick or anything like that. So I think there is a way. You just need software and hardware integration to get it, and people will start integrating.
Absolutely.
But I feel like this can be the next big step. In Microsoft video of the HoloLens, a lot of people tested it out. When people were wearing this, they were on Mars. They put a Mars simulation, and you could not tell a difference. Let's say you put headphones on, and you had a fan blowing or something like that, and you had air blowing on you. You could be on the beach, you know? This guy was on Mars. You could see the rover. You could see lens flares if you're looking into the into the sun, and it would try to blind you. So
it's the next... So they got J.J. Abrams to program that?
No, it's just the next step.
What is the next step? I question if we really need it. Instead of, because now people are going to be, ooh, I can do the beach at my house. I don't need to go out. Is that going to be
an issue? No, I'm thinking about using it for more for productiveness.
Okay.
Let's say in school, you want to learn about space. You're an astronomer. Mm-hmm. You can actually be in space and look at the terrain and learn about it. If you're into geology, maybe you can somehow 3D map it because they have 3D mappers. 3D map the entire area and go down and actually look into it and do some research.
I do think that this is going to become this is going to be the next phenomenon in technology breakthrough and how it integrates into life, because a lot of work that can happen can be augmented on a flat plane, like a table.
Right,
and
right.
There,
you're
you could just
right.
You could then manipulate and understand and go further in depth using those flat planes. Rather, I know Boss was making the point about the seeing the movies on a television screen, but really, you can just take any stationary object like the desks right
yeah.
here, right around us. And use that as the workstation, as the workplace.
You can. And
it's sci-fi come to life.
It is sci-fi come to life. And we are in the year 2015. And think about what has happened. When, since, just think about 2000. The year 2000.
No, actually, this is a really good one. I was just watching this video. Steve Jobs walked out on stage for like one of the first times, and he just swiped his iPhone. 2007.
The first iPhone was in 2007, guys.
2007.
It doesn't seem that long ago.
I know.
It doesn't.
Wow.
I know. How surprising is that?
There were no smart... They were, but they weren't smart.
Think of the evolution.
There were no real big smart devices at all at that time, or in mass.
And BlackBerry was king.
And BlackBerry was king, and Nokia.
Think of
the remember
time.
The small... Yeah.
That is a
Razor.
Really
remember the Razor phone?
Yeah.
The Razor. Yeah, yeah.
That is a huge progression.
First of all, why would I want to use the Razor when I have a big, thick Nokia phone that can block bullets?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
So look at the progression of technology,
yeah.
and this is where it's leading. And
technology. What was that law? The
Moore's law. Technology.
Yeah, exactly.
The processing doubles every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
Yeah. On that topic, I'd like to segue into the last conversation.
Let's do it.
And I'm excited for this. It's self-driving cars.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Okay, self-driving cars. Elon Musk from
mm-hmm.
Tesla came out on stage, and just through software update, he's like, guess what? Everyone who has a Tesla now, you're going to have autopilot, because it was only for the Tesla 95D.
Yeah,
now they're like, you know what? Every Tesla model can do it now.
Feel like
apparently,
so much
they did it over the air. Yeah, and he was like, this is not done yet. So this summer they're gonna release an update where they're gonna refine it so it can actually read signs properly even in bad weather, and it can follow road signs properly.
I gotta stop you there. I am not gonna update my car, and I'm not gonna
I don't think you have a Tesla.
I don't it's gonna be interesting how they did it just through the software update, where a lot of the other iterations that we're seeing have the 360 multi-panel cams that can take the actual geographic information.
The thing is, Elon Musk said for the Tesla car is not self-driving. It is assisted driving. So once you have to be in the passenger seat, the car will sense it, that you're sitting in the seat. And then it'll drive.
Apocalypse to approach.
The way the car works is it... only sees the lanes, and it follows and keeps you in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so
it's more,
it will
it's
not self drive.
More of like a parameter.
Yeah, and it'll
yeah.
it'll turn for you. It'll turn, but it's not self driving. You can't just say take me here, and it'll take you. It can't do that.
Yeah. It's
so
can it register lights or anything?
Yeah,
I
no, it registers lights, but that's the Google car. And then let's talk about that. Google announced I think knows about this about a year ago. They said we're going to release a self driving car. They've been testing it for years. And I think it's gotten to 3 accidents over like a couple 100,000 miles, and it's all been the other person's fault.
Yeah.
And Google's on their way; they want to release it in mass, but probably within 5 years.
However, what if we start going with ethanol subsidies into cars? Then will it be the car's fault?
No, this is just the first step.
It's electric cars are the future. BMW announced an electric car, self-driving fully. Audi release announced it, self-driving.
The German companies are actually pretty far behind.
And I guess the biggest thing I want to talk about is the statement that Elon Musk said, because Stephen Hawking are on a panel, and Steve Wozniak just yesterday. All three are part of a group.
What a bunch.
That is a very
that's
a
very clicker bunch right there.
All three of them are on a...
I don't agree with your relatively.
Are talking about the fact that...
that's Einstein, first of all.
You guys are not helping my train of thought. Oh,
Hawking's
trying to stay serious right here.
Back on topic.
Oh, my God.
Right,
okay, so they're all on a panel. Oh, they're all...
got a self-driving
oh, my God.
Device for us.
They're all in agreement that if we do not... keep it in check, technology will destroy humanity.
Oh, yeah.
They're all on par with that. On par with that, that if we do not keep it in control, the way we're going with technology is technology will overtake us and it will kill us.
Yeah.
Terminator.
No, and yeah. that is what they fear. Elon, even Stephen Hawking was like, I am 100% sure that right now this is the way it's going, yeah. And we got to make sure. We got to put in parameters that these things cannot take over certain computer systems that will control
like
the way
Hal
of life.
From 2001.
I have a sphere in my room just in case my Mac will ever try
to. Just some packs right there.
I really do. I really feel like I hear beeps and whatnot at night, and I don't even know.
Oh, jeez.
And then
Elon Musk made, this is the big line that I want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. He said that by 2030. Humans will be near outlawed from driving on the road because of self-driving cars.
I believe that.
Because they originally, officially,
human
error. He said that, and a few other companies have said that, the amount of error from humans far greater than from computers.
Yeah.
Eventually, the way it's going to go is, there's going to be one lane for all electric cars, and then there's going to be three for humans, and then they're going to change from three lanes for electric and one for human lanes.
Yeah, exactly.
And eventually they're just going to say, humans, why are you driving?
Yeah.
Has there been a lot of testing on the electric cars with that? Cause they
or self-driving cars?
Self-driving,
you need to
really test that out. Like,
yeah, the Google car did great, but it's not now. It's 2030. It's 2015.
Yeah.
15 years.
Yeah.
Look at the iPhone. 2007 to what our world is now. So in 15 years, most of the cars will be self-driving. People, you know why? The perfect example is my mom. My mom was an immigrant here, and she does not drive around a lot because she's not really confident with their driving. And I know some women are, even some guys. I'm sure I know some people who are not great at driving. And my mom, I asked her, I was like, would you sit in the Google car? I showed her a video of it, and she's like, absolutely. She would get it hands down because she'd just say, Google, take me to my son's house or take me to this. And she'd never have to even bat an eye or worry
gonna
about
see,
it.
You're also going to see, with that, a change in behavior towards traveling, especially longer distances, and especially around urban and suburban areas.
No, commutes.
You're going to see an integration, though, a stronger
integration
into that.
Cars can talk to each other. Because I'm drinking beer, too. My self-driving car is going down the road, and another self-driving car up the road sees an accident, so it gets onto the left lane. All the self-driving cars are aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
They all get onto the left lane, and they all follow suit. No one's trying to slam into each other, or honk their horns, or trying to break in when they can't. All the cars slow down on their own on their own processors, and they move in single file. It is more efficient than any human, because I know some fucking assholes on the road. I commute to work, so I know some people coming home
that
just
the
curb
right there.
it's fighting the change. I mean, it's absolutely going
to
happen.
I grew up driving. I actually started driving earlier than I was supposed to. I started driving when I was 15.
Don't admit that on the podcast.
It's okay, whatever. So I know a lot of people do, but I love to drive. When I'm in a bad mood, shitty mood, Adil and I, when we were younger, we used to go on what was called
car walks.
Instead of walking, we used to hurt the environment by walking, driving around in a car, just going nowhere. So I love being in a vehicle. I love driving, and I love driving fast cars. It's in my DNA.
Yeah.
But I drove in a Tesla, and then it was a completely different experience. I'm open to it. I know a lot of people are too. And I think the self-driving thing will be for the masses. A lot of people, a few million, will say no. They'll keep their cars. But it's kind of like the people who don't have cell phones.
Exactly.
They die out. And then it's not even that.
It's
they don't accept it, but their children's children will accept it.
It's going to be the pattern behavior. It's going to become just a part of society.
It's part of society.
Exactly.
Like, right now, internet is part of society.
Yeah.
You cannot go to a place and be like, you don't have Wi-Fi?
We just labeled it a public utility.
Yeah, it's a public utility.
I've slept over that. I've slept, like, four people over that.
Yeah. It's just, if you don't have Wi-Fi. And now, it's part of our FCC, where they're saying, if you're going to have broadband, I'm going on to a completely big tangent, but let me just finish that statement. If you have broadband, it has to be 20 megabits? What was it? 25. That was the announcement. It was supposed to minimum of 25 megabits per second from before, which was much lower. I think it was 5 or 10.
Yeah, it was
whatever it was.
Substantial. Yeah, it was a
substantial
increase.
technology is going in a very different way, and Elon Musk is all for preservation of humanity. I know he's very adamant about it. That's why he's on that whole panel with saying that we got to keep technology in check or else it's going to take over. But he's totally for self-driving cars. And part of me is too. You know, I'm not going to give up my my car, my automatic, or I don't know what we call it, the non-self-driving cars.
Manual cars.
Yes.
The novelty car.
I mean, is everyone open to driving one? Just once or twice? Or just
driving
to see how
it works? I would try it out. I like driving.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But would you test it out?
I would test it out at least.
What would you do?
I'm open to new things.
What would you do differently if you had a self-driving car? I mean, I'm just curious.
People might drink a lot more.
Yeah, well, no, people would. There's a lot of pros and cons. Like, for my daily commute to work, I would never drive. I would let a self-driving car because I could drink my coffee, check my news, updates, my emails. But when I'm going on a road trip, when I'm going out for the weekend, where we're going on a trip somewhere, even locally, I want to drive. But for like the mundane commutes, why not have a self-driving car? And a lot of people, what Google wants to do is they don't even want people maybe even buying cars. They don't even want the concept. They want people to rent it.
Yeah.
So it's people don't own cars. You just call it up, kind of like Uber. It's at your door. You just say, I want to go here, and it's there.
Why not? I mean, it makes more sense paying a monthly rate at that.
They charge a monthly rate, kind of like Spotify, Netflix, $9.99 a month. And a car comes to you. No insurance needed.
Biggest thing is being able to, at the time when you need it, you apply for the service.
Yeah.
It all depends on the area. Look in Manhattan. People walk to where they want to go. But let's say they want to go uptown. They use Uber. I used Uber for the first time last week. And I'm just like, wow. Because I said, share my location. There was one right down the street. And there's a $3 minimum if you don't want to take it. There's a charge.
That's not bad at all.
But if you're going to take it, they're not going to charge you that. Yeah. So the Uber car comes up right there. And you get in the car and you go.
Speaking of self-driving cars,
and this is we're looking on screen right now, the new Mercedes, and this is a futuristic model, not this one right here. Is it this one?
No, it's not this one.
Yeah.
No, it's still Well, that's it. But
okay, but there's another Mercedes announced their one, but that's like way futuristic.
Yeah,
it's
it's been driving around the streets of San Francisco, and people are like taking pictures of it. And I saw it on Reddit. I was just like, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's pretty fucking cool.
But that is the way things are going, and I'm sure we'll see more and more slow updates and iterations. Yeah. Even 6 months from now, we're all going to talk about this again.
Yeah.
You know why? Because fashion is now tech.
Mm-hmm.
Cars is now tech. Tech.
Everything.
Everything is tech. Because technology, we're becoming a technocratic society.
Although we are going into a technocratic society... Yeah. I do think that old trend from like the 80s is still very much alive. You are what you buy, and that's what defines you.
Have you been in Brooklyn?
No, you are what you buy.
You brought up
to the point. Technology is incorporating everything, but let's say you have an Apple Watch. Meanwhile, the person next to you has a Moto, and you're like, filthy Moto.
There's a big negative. Okay.
You're paying for that brand.
If people have Windows computers, no problem. If someone has a Windows phone, people look down on them. People look down on people with Windows phones. Because no one makes apps for Windows phones. There it is.
Second class American citizen.
There you go. This is a car. This is like the most futuristic, obscene car. And
Mercedes.
Well, they said that they're not even selling it.
It's a prototype.
It's not even legal on street roads.
Man.
So they told them that this is just a concept test.
Oh, it is.
They're building it.
You think they'll put that to the market, Mercedes?
No, you know how much that cost?
No, but not even that. Look at the build
model.
Mercedes will never put that to the market.
I will buy that.
I showed it to my wife this morning, and she was like, that is ugly as hell.
And then she saw
the inside. Look at the grill. She's like, and then she saw the inside, and she's like, the inside is beautiful. From the outside, it looks like a bullet.
Mercedes would never put that to the market.
I would buy it.
I think it looks great. What people in the 1970s thought a futuristic car would look like.
You know what? You want to take like a 1980s sci-fi flick, and that's a car they would drive.
No, but Can you guys imagine if you showed this to people in the 80s? Or just like even in the early 1991, what the technology... Yeah.
It would be science
we
fiction.
We are living in a science fiction world, and it only gets more and
but
more
science. Where the fuck is my hoverboard?
Yeah, right? Back to the future.
The
anniversary came and passed. We still don't have our hoverboards.
Surprisingly, a lot of those things were true that they predicted.
Yeah.
Sorry, future generation. We screwed up with the hoverboard.
I think that's the biggest crime of humanity. Yeah,
I don't know about the biggest crime.
Okay. All right, guys. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight and hanging out with us. So this was our second episode. Hopefully, you guys can tune in every week. We might do more of these maybe twice a week. But we're going to talk more about tech, pop culture, superheroes, pretty much anything that interests us. And if anyone is listening, they want to sponsor us, they want to send us free stuff to review. You know, sure, we're open anytime.
Send us free stuff.
Free stuff. Send us free stuff.
Sweatshirt, please.
Pens, maybe, business cards.
It's all right if you're stealing from a multinational corporation.
No, they're used to it.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in for the second episode of Daily Charge. Check us out. We're officially on iTunes this week. So our first episode is up. The second one will be up very soon. We are on SoundCloud. We are on Twitter. We are on Periscope. So check us out. We're getting around. So you'll see us soon. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. And tune in next time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Till next time, true believers.